So why is it important for us to celebrate the anniversary of the dedication of this building? What makes this building special? Because this building and what happens inside these walls speaks to us and immerses us in a mystery and a truth that goes beyond what we can express with words. It's a mystery and a truth that we try to express through a tapestry of music, gestures, architecture, art, prayer, and words. We receive an insight into what this mystery and truth are from the words of the preface, that prayer before the Holy, Holy, Holy. For in this visible house, you wonderfully manifest and accomplish the mystery of your communion with us. You wonderfully manifest and accomplish the mystery of your communion with us. Another way of saying that might be, in this visible house, time and eternity meet and interact. We heard those strange words in our gospel, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. That statement comes in the middle of John chapter 2. At the end of John chapter 1, Jesus was saying to Nathanael, "You will see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Any Jew in Jesus' day would recognize that as a reference to a dream that the patriarch Jacob had had in the book of Genesis. And in that dream, Jacob saw a ladder extend from earth up to heaven, and the angels were going up and down the ladder. And Jacob named that place Bethel, house of God, because it was a place where time and eternity met. Well, in Jesus' day, it was the temple that was considered the place where time and eternity met. But Jesus says at the end of chapter 1, the angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. On the Son of Man. The evangelist is saying to us that Jesus is where time and eternity meet. Jesus is where time and eternity meet. If we have any doubt about that, well, what happens if we look to the next passage? We find the wedding feast of Cana, where Jesus turns water and wine, water into wine, revealing the presence of God in him. And then comes that passage from today's gospel, where we hear, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it." But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Now fast forward to Jesus on the cross, and what happens? When Jesus dies on the cross, when the body of his temple is destroyed, the veil of the physical temple is torn in two. The barrier between time and eternity is removed. In Jesus, time and eternity meet, and at his death, the barrier between time and eternity is destroyed. And so this church building, this physical temple, is meant to draw our minds and our hearts to the true temple, to Jesus Christ, eternally dwelling in our midst. In this visible house, time and eternity meet and interact. But that's only the beginning of the incredible mystery expressed and ratified in this building. Maybe even more amazing is what we hear in our first reading, where we hear, "I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb, gleamed with splendor, a precious stone." Who is this bride who gleams with splendor? Who is this bride who is the precious stone? The answer is in our second reading. You are a chosen race, a people of his own. We as a church and we as individuals are that bride. You, men and women alike, are invited to be that bride, gleaming with splendor. What did we ever do to deserve such a grace? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As it says in the very first line of the Catechism, God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his blessed life. God created us to say yes to his invitation to be his bride. Archbishop Luis Martinez wrote one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. He said, "Let a willing soul not be frightened at hearing herself called a bride. She is truly that because of the incomprehensible love of God. He is speaking to all souls, men and women. God doesn't need brides, but it makes sense why he would want them and welcome them. Don't diminish this mystery and truth by thinking that God just wants a bunch of likes or followers on his social media account. God is love, and he created us for love. And because he loves us, he knows that we will experience fulfillment when our time is united to his eternity. Temples are places where time and eternity meet. It applies to this physical building. It applies to Jesus. It applies to our souls as well. As St. Paul wrote elsewhere, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? God created us in his image so that in us, time and eternity could meet. If we were like the other animals, this would not happen. I don't know if you've noticed this, but cats and dogs don't build temples. Cats and dogs don't fashion memorials to their heroes. They don't express their higher desires through music and art. We are intelligent, transcendent beings so that we can share intimacy with God, so that in us, time and eternity can meet and interact. Today, we renew the dedication of this temple. At every Mass celebrated here, we renew our individual temples and are given the opportunity to say yes to that invitation to be a bride. God does this because he knows our frailty. At every Mass, we are rededicated as a place where time and eternity meet. In the most intimate encounter with God possible in this life, God doesn't say, take and understand, because we wouldn't understand. He says, take and eat. But I sense we don't really appreciate this, because I know how, and I see how many people come to daily Mass. Now, daily Mass isn't required, but it is a measure of whether this truth is permeating our lives. Time and again, I have experienced at Mass, especially at daily Mass, how God draws back that veil that separates us from him. If we understood the significance of this church building, we would never be bored or disinterested at Mass again. On the cross, the veil separating time and eternity was torn down. What veils have we allowed to be constructed in its place? Family demands, work responsibilities, the distraction of the political scene, the constant flood of images and messages from our cell phones, the onslaught of unsatisfying materialism. Some of that's unavoidable, but not all of it. Have we forgotten that we are eternal beings? Do we ever allow ourselves anymore to talk and think about heaven? You are living your eternity now. Is it one that will be united to God, or is it one that's going to end in despair and loneliness? I find it fascinating to read the scientific studies that there are out there about near-death experiences in human consciousness. And I know most of us were familiar with the experiences where a soul undergoing a near-death experience moves into the loving light and encounters family members. But what we don't talk much about are those who experience a deep, despairing loneliness, who experience demons grasping at them, poking them, laughing at them. We don't talk much about it, but we need to, because it reminds us that we are choosing heaven and hell with every decision we make. It's time to wake up to this mystery and truth that we celebrate today. It's a never-ending battle, but a battle of utmost importance. It's a battle we must engage if we want to be human beings if we want to be human beings fashioned in the image of God instead of the image of the world. We will find our meaning and identity in God, not in the world. Yes, the world is a beautiful and magical place, but it's only a place of hope if it's a place where time and eternity meet. Apart from God, it will be a place of despair, as our world's response to the pandemic reveals to us every day. We are weak and frail, which is why God gives us this place of worship, why he gives us the Mass and the Eucharist. It's my prayer that you will come to know and experience that in this visible house, time and eternity meet and interact, and then manifest that truth and that mystery in your lives.